think that song is written in heaven. Because everybody could hear it, it came from the heart. And it's so important, that our hearts are turned to the Lord. Amen. Not our hands, but our hearts.
Amen.
Kubalulekile ukuthi inhliziyo zethu kube yizona eziba enkosini yethu, hayi amakhanda ethu noma iy'nqondo zethu.
Wonderful. That means I don't need to say much because we need to double time. Yes. What we were singing about grace is so true. But some believe if they have found grace, they can do what
they want.
It's exactly the contrary. Exodus chapter 33. Verse
13.
Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way.
Amen.
That I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy
sight.
So the grace of God comes to us. To know the Lord and to know His way. And to know His will and to do His will. The Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 17. John 1, 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 2, Titus chapter 2, verse 11. And 12 and 13. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. The grace of God brings salvation. Brings redemption. Brings forgiveness. Takes us from our own ways to the ways of God. The next step is in verse 12. Teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. That we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. This is what happens to a person that receives the grace of God. You will deny ungodliness, you will deny worldly lust. You will have a longing to live righteously and godly in the presence of the Lord. verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Romans, the first chapter, we shall read verse 7. To all in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace be to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle started his epistles with grace be mentioned, and that's the way he finished them. First Corinthians 16, verse 23. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Grace be with you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We can go from chapter to chapter and find what grace actually accomplishes. The grace of God takes us out of condemnation.
Amen.
By the grace of God, we find peace with God.
Amen.
It is so important to preach every word of God the way it is written. Misunderstandings and misinterpretations come from the same source. Divine understanding and revelation come from the same source. We must understand Isaiah chapter
55,
where God says, your ways are not my ways, and your thoughts are not my thoughts. But when we are united with the Lord Jesus Christ, we honor God also with our thinking, We must start to think in the ways of God according to the Word of God. Our thoughts must be according to the Word of God. That was the covenant name of God in the Old Testament. And if you take that was the covenant name of God in the Old Testament. And if you take J-A-H, you go to the many names in the Old Testament.
Testament in the
which end with J A A. And then you go to the New
Testament
to the name of our Lord. In the Old Testament, Yahweh, which means the eternal one existing within himself. J-H-W-H. That was the covenant name of God in the Old Testament. And if you take J-A-H, you go to the many names in the Old Testament, which end with J A H. And then you go to the New
Testament
to the name of our Lord. In the Old Testament, Yahweh, which means the eternal one existing within himself. J-H-W-H. That was the covenant name of God in the Old Testament. And if you take J A H, you go to the many names in the Old
Testament,
which end with J A
H.
And then you go to the New Testament to the name of our Lord. In the Old Testament, Yahweh, which means the eternal one existing within himself. J-H-W-H. That was the covenant name of God in the Old Testament. And if you take J-A-H, you go to the many names in the Old Testament, which end with J A
H.
And then you go to the New Testament to the name of our Lord. In the Old Testament, Yahweh, which means the eternal one existing within himself. J-H-W-H. That was the covenant name of God in the Old Testament. And if you take J-A-H, you go to the many names in the Old Testament, which end with
J-A-H.
And then you go to the New Testament to the name of our Lord. In the Old Testament, Yahweh, which means the eternal one existing within himself. J-H-W-H. That was the covenant name of God in the Old Testament. And if you take J-A-H, You go to the many names in the Old Testament, which end with J A A. And then you go to the New Testament, to the name of our Lord. In the Old Testament, Yahweh, which means the eternal one existing within himself.
J-H-W-H.
That was the covenant name of God in the Old Testament. And if you take J-A-H, you go to the many names in the Old Testament, which end with J-A-H. And then you go to the New
Testament,
to the name of our Lord. In the Old Testament, Yahweh, which means the eternal one existing within himself. J-H-W-H. That was the covenant name of God in the Old Testament. And if you take J-A-H, you go to the many names in the Old Testament, which end with J-A-H. And then you go to the New
Testament,
to the name of our Lord. In the Old Testament, Yahweh, which means the eternal one existing within himself. J-H-W-H. That was the covenant name of God in the Old Testament. And if you take J-A-H, you go to the many names in the Old
Testament,
which end with J A
H.
And then you go to the New Testament, to the name of our Lord. In the Old Testament, Yahweh, which means the eternal one existing within himself. J-H-W-H. That was the covenant name of God in the Old Testament. And if you take J-A-H, you go to the many names in the Old Testament, which end with J-A-H. And then you go to the New
Testament,
to the name of our Lord. In the Old Testament, Yahweh, which means the eternal one existing within himself. The enemy sold his
seed.
So it is. J-H-W-H. That was the covenant name of God in the Old Testament. And if you take J-A-H, you go to the many names in the Old Testament, which end with J-A-H. And then you go to the New
Testament,
to the name of our Lord. In the Old Testament, Yahweh.
J-H-W-H.
That was the covenant name of God in the Old Testament. And if you take J-A-H, you go to the many names in the Old Testament, which end with J-A-H. And then you go to the New
Testament,
to the name of our Lord. In the Old Testament, Yahweh, which means the eternal one existing within himself. J-H-W-H. That was the covenant name of God in the Old Testament. And if you take J-A-H, you go to the many names in the Old
Testament,
which end with J-A-H. And then you go to the New
Testament,
to the name of our Lord. In the Old Testament, Yahweh, which means the eternal one existing within himself. J-H-W-H. That was the covenant name of God in the Old Testament. And if you take J
A-H,
you go to the many names in the Old Testament, which end with
J-A-H.
And then you go to the New Testament, to the name of our Lord. In the Old Testament, Yahweh, which means the eternal one existing within himself. J-H-W-H. That was the covenant name of God in the Old Testament. And if you take J-A-H, you go to the many names in the Old
Testament,
which end with J-A-H. And then you go to the New
Testament,
to the name of our Lord. In the Old Testament, Yahweh, which means the eternal one existing within himself. J-H-W-H. That was the covenant name of God in the Old Testament. And if you take J-A-H, you go to the many names in the Old Testament, which end with J-A-H. And then you go to the New Testament, to the name of our Lord. In the Old Testament, Yahweh, which means the eternal one existing within himself. J-H-W-H. That was the covenant name of God in the Old Testament. And if you take J-A-H, you go to the many names in the Old Testament, which end with J-A-H. And then you go to the New
Testament,
to the name of our Lord. In the Old Testament, Yahweh, which means the eternal one existing within himself. J-H-W-H. That was the covenant name of God in the Old Testament. And if you take J-A-H, you go to the many names in the Old Testament, which end with
J-A-H.
And then you go to the New Testament, to the name of our Lord. In the Old Testament, Yahweh, which means the eternal one existing within himself. J-H-W-H. That was the covenant name of God in the Old Testament. And if you take J-A-H, you go to the many names in the Old Testament, which end with
J-A-H.
And then you go to the New Testament, to the name of our Lord. In the Old Testament, Yahweh, which means the eternal one existing within himself. J-H-W-H. That was the covenant name of God in the Old Testament. And if you take J-A-H, you go to the many names in the Old Testament, which end with
J-A-H.
And then you go to the New Testament, to the name of our Lord. In the Old Testament, Yahweh, which means the eternal one existing within himself. J-H-W-H. That was the covenant name of God in the Old Testament. And if you take J-A-H, you go to the many names in the Old Testament, which end with J-A-H. And then you go to the New
Testament,
to the name of our Lord. In the Old Testament, Yahweh, which means the eternal one existing within himself. J-H-W-H. That was the covenant name of God in the Old Testament. And if you take J-A-H, you go to the many names in the Old Testament, which end with
J-A-H.
And then you go to the New Testament, to the name of our Lord. In the Old Testament, Yahweh, which means the eternal one existing within himself. J-H-W-H. That was the covenant name of God in the Old Testament. And if you take J
A-H,
you go to the many names in the Old Testament, which end with
J-A-H.
And then you go to the New Testament, to the name of our Lord. In the Old Testament, Yahweh, which means the eternal one existing within himself. J-H-W-H. That was the covenant name of God in the Old Testament. And if you take J-A-H, you go to the many names in the Old Testament, which end with J-A-H. And then you go to the New
Testament,
to the name of our Lord. In the Old Testament, Yahweh, which means the eternal one existing within himself. J-H-W-H. That was the covenant name of God in the Old Testament. And if you take J-A-H, you go to the many names in the Old
Testament,
which end with J-A-H. And then you go to the New
Testament,
to the name of our Lord. In the Old Testament, Yahweh, which means the eternal one existing within himself. J-A-H. H W H.
That
was the covenant name of God in the Old Testament.
And
if you take J A H, you go to the many names in the Old Testament, which end with J A
H.
And then you go to the New Testament, to the name of our Lord. In the Old Testament, Yahweh, which means the eternal one existing within himself. In his day. J-H-W-H. That was the covenant name of God in the Old Testament. And if you take J A H, you go to the many names in the Old Testament, which end with J A H. And then you go to the New
Testament,
to the name of our Lord. In the Old Testament, Yahweh, which means the eternal 30 days on. J H W H. That was the covenant name of God in the Old Testament. And if you take J A H, you go to the many names in the Old
Testament,
which end with J A
H.
And then you go to the New Testament, to the name of our Lord. In the Old Testament, Yahweh, which means the eternal one existing within himself. J H W H. That was the covenant name of God in the Old Testament. And if you take J A H, you go to the many names in the Old Testament, which end with J A
H.
And then you go to the New Testament, to the name of our Lord. In the Old Testament, Yahweh, which means the eternal one existing within himself. And said, I can send you 1,000 such handkerchiefs, small pieces like
this.
Little closer, little less than an envelope would be, you know, just a little piece of
fabric.
And he says, Brother Brennan prayed over them. Just a few months before he was taken to be with the Lord. And now he sends them out and takes them out to all the countries. What have I to do with such a practice? In Acts chapter 19, the word of God says, while the apostle Paul was preaching, the perspiration was running down. So he was wiping the perspiration. And there were those who saw it, who believed. And they took these handkerchiefs and went to the sick and prayed. But after Paul went to be with the Lord, there were no more perspirations and no more handkerchiefs. God can do what he wishes to do, but we don't have a Roman Catholic spirit, we have a Holy Spirit. We don't worship any place or anything. We worship God in spirit and in truth. So I want you to understand my responsibility is to preach the word of God. Not to interpret a single scripture. As we said in the different meetings, all the word of God is misunderstood and misinterpreted from Genesis chapter 1. Even Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our own image. And the philosophies came in and they were trying to make God three different people. We don't have three eternal ones. We don't have three almighty ones. We have one eternal one. But in the New Testament, for our sake, he manifested himself as our Father in heaven. In Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son on earth. Emmanuel, God with us.
Emmanuel,
and by the Holy Spirit, he lives in us. And we become the temple of God. But the Holy Scriptures were interpreted all the time. Instead of going to the other scriptures, like Genesis 11 verse
7,
let us go down, the Lord said, or to all the other scriptures which speak in the plural, to know with whom the Lord God spoke. And if you wish to know it very, very precisely, go to Job 38. And if you wish to know a little more about it, go to 2 Chronicles 18. When the prophet saw the Lord sitting on the throne, and all the heavenly hosts to his right and to his left, and he heard the whole conversation that was going on in heaven. I only mention this because my heart is broken. All of Christianity is being misled. All of Christianity is in wrong teaching. The word Trinity Trinity is not one time in the Holy Scripture. There is not a single place in God's Holy Word which would state that the Father in heaven has given birth to a son in eternity. If I say today that the Trinity doctrine is blasphemous, please don't be angry. Because over 6,000 times the Holy Scripture records about God, one God. And when he spoke the first commandment, he said, I'm the Lord your God, thou shalt have no other gods besides me. And then to emphasize it, he said, hear, O Israel, I'm the Lord your God. I am one. I am one. Not two, not three. I'm one. That's what the word of God says. And that is what we have to believe inside. But after 200 years after Christ, the Greeks and all the people who didn't know the God of Israel came in. And they were trying to form God in such a way that people would understand him. You don't form God, God formed us. You don't make any image, he made us. And already throughout the Old Testament, from the very beginning of time, the invisible God, Holy Spirit, filled all eternity, all dwelling in his light and spirit throughout eternity, came into a visible form of appearance. Because God is spirit, and no one has seen God at any time. But the invisible God became visible, and walked in that way in the Garden of Eden. The invisible becoming visible. And also the Old Testament, he repeated himself to his prophets. But in the New Testament, in his only begotten Son, thou art my Son, today have I begotten thee. So the Son of God was not born in heaven. The Son of God was born in Bethlehem. That's what the scripture says. Throughout the Old Testament, they knew him as the great I Am. They knew him as Yahweh, as Lord. And it would be good for you to know that when God revealed his name to Moses, just before making the covenant and to take the children of Israel out of Egypt, you can read it in the word of God in Exodus. In Exodus chapter 6. And just listen to this. The English Bible should have used a J instead of a Y. Let's leave it as it is. Exodus chapter 6, verse 2 to 4. And God spoke unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name, Yahweh, was I not known to them. Actually, there were just four letters. J-H-W-H. That was the covenant name of God in the Old Testament. And if you take J-A-H, you go to the many names in the Old Testament, which end with J-A-H. And then you go to the New
Testament,
to the name of our Lord. In the Old Testament, Yahweh, which means the eternal one existing within himself. The name Jehovah comes only from the 16th century, was there in the original.
But
I just wish to make the point. When you say hallelujah,
hallelujah,
what does it mean?
Vushuti.
Praise the Lord. Praise be to Yahweh. If you say
Emmanuel,
what does it mean?
Vushuti.
God with us. So every name in the Holy Scripture has a significance. But the Bible translators never care to give us the precise meaning of these names. And I tell you why.
Yes.
Because it takes divine revelation. But now we understand by the grace of God, the Javi of the Old Testament is Yahshua of the New
Testament.
The great I am. Who could say before I, Abraham, was I am? 7 I am in the Gospel of John. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the resurrection. I am the bread of life.
Prophet Isaiah.
I am was the first and the last. If you go to the book of Revelation, there again is the first and the last of
great
I. So everything in the Word of God has its place. Also Matthew 28. I just love to mention this. Only in the last few months. Because we, as believers of the Word of God, must be sure that we can speak to others.
Amen.
Because anybody can point to Matthew 28:19. And the Lord said, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. They don't even care to pause for a moment to know that Father is not a name. Father is what you are when sons and daughters are born to you. Son is not a name. That's why the angel gave her, said, you should call his name Jesus. He was the Son. But the name was Jesus. So is Matthew 28. We go to Mark 16. They who believe and are baptized shall be saved. Not just taking all the babies and putting 3 drops of water on the forehead. And then even Saint Jesus said, go from scripture to scripture. Find your answer in God's holy word about the word. And with everything the Lord Jesus said, especially after his resurrection, which pertains to the Great Commission, you must go to Acts chapter 2 and then to Acts chapter
8
and then to Acts chapter 10 and then to Acts chapter
19.
You must go because everything must be established on 2 or 3 witnesses. There is not a single doctrine which can be built upon one scripture. With one scripture, even Satan came to our Lord and said, it is written. And he came 3 times. Oh, it is written. But he took the word of God out of context. And this is what the enemy does right up to this day. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell. And the Apostle Peter spoke under the direct anointing and inspiration and revelation of the Holy Spirit. Repent, every one of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. So that is the Holy Scriptures. First, we read about the commission. And then we have to go and see how the commission was carried out. If I would ask you how much is 3 times 3, you cannot answer 3 times 3 is 3 times 3. You have to give me the answer. You have to have the answer. What the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is. It's a New Testament covenant name. There is no other name given under heaven where a believer can be saved. But the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I want you to be sure in what you believe. If somebody comes and tells you, like many of the Pentecostal preachers would, he will say the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is wrong. And he said, because Jesus said, and then they even say, we rather believe what Jesus said and not what the Apostle Peter said or what the Apostle Paul said. Let me tell you straight, these preachers don't have divine revelation. They have had knowledge. They have the letter, but not the divine revelation. And the whole church is built upon divine revelation. Matthew 16:16-18. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So always go from scripture to scripture, because one scripture explains and throws light onto the other scripture. Now quickly to the return of Christ. Please remember, a messenger is sent to prepare the way, to also bring the message of restoration. But as John the Baptist was not only preparing the way, but his preparation of the way was rounded up in the preparation of those who believe his message. He brought bride and bridegroom together. The way was prepared, the hearts were prepared, that the bride would hear the message of the bridegroom. We have the message of restoration. And the message of restoration must become a reality. Brother Branham had a restored ministry. I saw it. I'm a witness of it. Now the time has come for us to believe, for us to receive, so that the restoration becomes evidence. We must stop to interrupt God. We must forget, especially all ministering brethren, they must forget all special revelations. We don't need any special revelation. We need the revelation of Jesus Christ. And every true revelation is always in Jesus Christ. There are still brothers within the message. They specialize on certain subjects. And they bring division. I don't believe in division at all. Not at all. And I made the statement somewhere. When the Lord called me to go from city to city to preach his word and to store up the food, the last two things the Lord said were, don't don't establish local churches. And don't publish a songbook. For it is a sign of a denomination. Now place yourself back to April 62.
Manje buyela uzibeke April 1962.
What did I know about denomination?
Bengazini ke mina lapho ngamasonto.
What did I know about establishing local church?
Bengazini ngaleso sikhathi ngokuqala amabandla.
It was the day of my calling. But when I look back to all these years of international ministry, I have never been responsible for a single split in a single church. Beloved brothers, we have to understand this. Every brother that comes with some kind of a motive to start his own work is not part of the fivefold ministry. Because all of the fivefold ministry will be working for the upbuilding of the body of Christ. It's not only written in Ephesians chapter 4, from verse
11,
but it becomes more and more a reality. If you look into the message, one comes up with seven thunders. And if he says the prophet said, the prophet said, the people follow him. If the next one comes with the parousia doctrine, all the main issue is the prophet said, the prophet said, and the people follow him. If somebody comes and tells you the Lord Jesus came in 1963, I had people in person tell me all these things. One brother whom I love very much, he's about 5 years older than I am. He's a brother friend, the Lord has come. But I said, where? And he said, did you see that?
What you
I said, no, I don't see that. Well, he said, then you don't have a revelation.
What
but I said, brother, you are here and I'm here. You are not changing, I'm not changing. You're an old man and I'm an old man. And then he said,
what again?
But it's a revelation.
What again? What is happening?
He said, the coming of the Lord is a revelation.
What is happening? What is happening?
Then I just have to say, please take me back to the gate. After 2 hours of discussion, I had to tell him, take me to the
airport.
He had two piles of message books of Brother Branham. But when my patience run out, I just asked him, would you please now open this book, the Holy Bible? Would you please show me from this Bible? What is
that?
I cannot do it. I just believe what the prophet said. I just said you misunderstood what the prophet said. Just when you said we're already back from the wedding supper, you know, and in the millennial reign, I should rather praise him to the
end.
Why do I mention these
things?
The spirit of deception is moving. Don't believe anything except you find two or three places in the Word of God. When the Lord Jesus returns, the dead in Christ will rise first. And we who are alive shall be changed. Not in 30 or 40 days, but in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That's what the scripture says. And then also, it's not only 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 51. But also verse 54. When the Lord returns, death will be swallowed into victory. I just love to make this statement. When our Lord went down to hell, he conquered Satan, death and hell. And after he rose on the third day, he said on the Isle of Patmos to John, behold, I was dead, but now I live. And have the keys of the kingdom. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that was a confirmation that he had conquered death and in heaven and Satan. But when Christ returns, the conquered death will be swallowed up and will be no more. You can read it in Isaiah 25. I read it to you so you might know it. So it will not be a teaching. It will not be a revelation. It will be a reality. We read it in Isaiah chapter 25. It's a wonderful scripture. Verse 8. He will swallow up death in victory. Compare it with 1 Corinthians 15. Death, where is thy sting? Hell, where is the victory? Thanks be to God who gave us the victory. So Jesus Christ, beloved, always the word of God, the word of God. And he will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away the tears from our faces. Take it to Revelation chapter 21. There shall be no more. We shall reign with Christ forever. Revelation chapter 21. Verse 4 we read. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death. Neither no sorrow, no crying, no nothing will be, no pain, nothing will be.
No.
Hallelujah. Amen. That will take place when Christ returns. And when he returns, we shall be changed. We all shall be young again. I'd rather be young than old. Should I read it to you from the word of God. When Brother Branham was taken beyond the curtain of time, he saw the white-dressed multitude. And they were all young. They were all young. But I, Brother Frank, I saw the rapture. I saw the rapture. And I don't say this because Brother Branham saw and said
it.
I say it because I experienced
it.
When I was dying with malaria tropica, in Accra, Ghana, I received 4 bites of a sissy fly which carries the malaria.
In December
1980. I just managed to come home for Christmas. And I got weaker and weaker. And then I was taken to the hospital. And because our country and the doctors don't know malaria tropical, they didn't know how to treat this illness. And to be honest, I was just artificially kept alive with all these needles. And finally, they pushed me out in the room where people die. And Dr. Professor Becker, I couldn't still hear saying it's too late. They were speaking about blood transfusion. He said it's too late. So I was pushed into the room to die. I could not speak anymore. But I just opened my eyes. One curtain left, one curtain right. And you know what happened? I just knew I was going. And I wanted to say these words. Lord, how do I stand in your presence? I was too weak. I could not speak. I just wanted to say this. And the next moment, I was taken out of this
body.
I'm the blue sky. And when I looked to my right, a white-dressed multitude, just like the scripture says, which nobody can count. And in that dimension, you can see, oh, I tell you, you can just see. And all were young. The next person was besides me, as my hand is now like
this.
And I was much to the left, but I was in the first row. I was in the first row. And we're going up and going up and going up. I lie not. I experienced it. Then I saw the New Jerusalem come down. I saw the glory of God. How many of you have ever seen snow? How many have seen snow, fresh fallen snow, and sunrise. When the sun rises and shines upon fresh fallen
snow.
When everything is just sparkling, everything is just it's all just alive. That is the closest I can explain the glory of God. It's living.
We are peace.
I saw it in the other dimension. Now I read to you where it says that God will bring us back into the days of our youth. Job chapter 33. We have to read from verse 23 to 25. If there is a messenger with him, an interpreter among a thousand, to show unto men his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him and says, deliver him from going down to the pit. I found a ransom. And his flesh shall be fresher than that of a child. And he shall return to the days of his youth. I can assure you, in the resurrection, there will be no trace of sin. No trace of sin. No trace of sorrow. We will be young again. We will be perfect, perfect. Here is a secret. Our Lord and Savior came to be what we are. He died in our stead. He died for us. He paid the price.
He gave us
to pay the price of redemption. That we might be saved. That we might be prepared. For that great day of the return of
Christ.
Run the race so you will make it. Be counted among those according to Matthew 25, verse 10. They that were ready went in. Revelation 19, verse
7.
And his bride has made herself ready. Not only to prepare the way, but prepare the hearts of the people to walk in the ways of the Lord. Not only restoration message, but the restoration, the first love, everything that was in the beginning must be restored at the end. What did Brother Branham say?
What did you put, Brother?
He was told when he was in paradise. Only perfect love.
What did paradise
I'd like to address one more word to all brothers who minister God's word. Please find your place with a God-ordained ministry within the body of Christ, which is the Church of the Living God. They called our church at this time. You're not only a church, you are the church.